Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, we're covering it, so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about, come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. We want to say welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I am Dope Israel of the Sounds of Living Waters. And look, today, man, we are dealing with this Sunday morning blog talk, and we want to talk about a couple of things, man, like the brethren. You know, actually, when we see this here, M.O., we get mixed up, you know, like we talking about each other. No, I want to talk about them angels. We want to talk about the brethren that was created in heaven. You know, we knew about the ones on earth because we one of them, right? But the ones that was created in heaven, that's a whole nother conversation. You know, the ones, you know, we got mixed messages about. Even Hollywood are trying to tell us about them, you know. And, you know, everybody want to tap into them, you know, witches, prophets. Everybody got their own MO on it. I just want to keep with the word of God. That's it. I just want to read from Genesis to Revelation about these things that belong to him. So, with that being said, let's get into this precept. Brothers and sisters, if you can, brothers, we can stand, face Jerusalem, and uncover our heads. And as our sisters, if you can stand and face Jerusalem and cover your heads as we approach the Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father who art in heaven, forgive me, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and countenance upon us. Father, have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear. And a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and a faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them to hear us, and give them a mind to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and a faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen. Well, once again, welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters, and we're dealing with the brethren, you see. And what is it with the brethren? Why is it that these things are important to us? We need to know these things. We need to know why the brethren is important to us. think we take that part of the ministry kind of lightly, even though we want to say we're dealing with it, but I think we deal with it with a lot of hoopla, you know, with a whole lot of sensationalism, you know, with a whole lot of hurrah and, I come against you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and all that. That's all garbage. That's garbage. I'm going to tell you flat out, that's garbage. None of the apostles came approached the spirit world in that manner. That's sensationalism. That's for people who don't believe in God. They believe in theatrics and things like that. If you don't believe in God, then those things that bind you, you know. So it's no, I don't have time for that. The word of God, he said, the simplicity of Christ, you know, and all that hoopla and all that type of stuff ain't going to get you across the street. And when people, when you look at it, and when you talk to people about those things, and then when they get through with the hoopla, and then you bust that book open, the first thing they want to do is run. They want to run and say, oh, you fool with the devil. Oh, you got a bad mouth. Oh, you this, that, and the other. Because you want sensationalism. You want nonsense. You want stuff that don't make sense. You see? But that's what we need. Some of us need that. Some of us need foolishness, you know, to justify our foolishness, because we're not any better than the foolishness that we approve of. I should say, maybe that's just it, because our own limitations and our own growth, maybe that's exactly where we at, and maybe that's where we'll probably always be. Maybe our growth will never be past that because we're too busy caught up on other people's sensationalism, or maybe that's exactly what we need, sensationalism. But God ain't in that. He said, he in the book from Genesis to Revelation, if you can't read it, don't believe it, right? Right. So let's get this started. Let's start this in, let's start this in Isaiah 45 in verse 4. Isaiah 45 in verse 4. And here, you know, the word, the Father is telling us that he is the all in all, whether it be good or evil, man. You know, we keep giving Satan God's glory. we give Satan the Father's glory. We give Satan God in Christ glory because we're going through something. I'm going through something, and Satan is, man, listen, man, if you're going through something, the Lord is allowing it, and you need to check yourself. That's all to it. If you're going through it, you need to check yourself before he wreck you. That's what he's doing. He's warning you before he wreck you. He's warning you before he destroy you. Sometimes you get your top on your shoulder. Look. Slow your roll. Slow, pump your brakes before you end up getting hurt before me because you're doing too much. Some of us don't believe in them things. Some of us need that car crash or a plane to fall out of heaven. Or some of us just need to walk on water to believe it. Right, right. Okay. Isaiah 45 and 5, it says this. It says, I form the light. He said, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God with me, beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. And so we miss this memo. You know, we act like this ain't in the book. You know, that God he created the devil. He didn't create him evil in the beginning, but he wrote in a law what's good and evil. So he did create evil. Because he's told us in the law there is a false balance, is an abomination in him, you see. So he did create evil. And did he create Satan? Yes, but he never created him evil. He created the law for all us to abide by. But if you don't keep the law, then the evil that he created, you will be abiding in. And sometimes, man, the Most High just say, well, Maybe that's exactly what you want. Maybe you don't want his truth. Maybe you don't need the truth. Maybe you need those lies to motivate yourself to and he'll give it to you. All right, believe more. Here go more lies. And before you know it, you start trusting yourself. You start thinking you God. You know, I believe this and I believe that. Well, what the book say? Well, you need more books. But Genesis to Revelation was good enough for you up until now, but now you need more books for your faith. Okay, I'm good. He said, look, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. I create darkness. I create evil. So if there's anybody out here practicing evil and moving in darkness, it's because the Lord put them there. So they can't see the light. So what they have to do with anything that you're doing in the light? That's a super oxymoron. Oh, man, there's somebody over there practicing darkness. Well, what they got to do with you? You not. So what? Well, I'm going through some things. Somebody must be putting some voodoo. No, you're just doing too much, and your works is being destroyed because you're doing too much. Why don't you just accept that you're just doing too much? You know, maybe the Lord will heal us, you know, if we accept that fact. Anyway, let's go to Deuteronomy 32 and 39. Deuteronomy 32 and 39. Once again, he said, I create light, which is righteousness, and darkness, which is evil. I make peace, and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Stop giving the devil and these morons that's following the devil his glory, or else he's going to give you a mind to support their nonsense, and their glory is going to be yours, and you're going to be full of nonsense. Where are we? Deuteronomy 32 and verse 39. Deuteronomy 32 and 39. And it says this. It says, see now that I am he, there's no God with me. I kill and I make alive. That's why I don't understand what happened with the Sadducees. They believe in the God of Israel. Maybe they didn't. If you got a problem with the resurrection, you can't believe in God. It's impossible to believe in God if you do not believe in the resurrection. So maybe they didn't believe in it, but here it is. He said, I kill and make alive. So that was your resurrection right there. But anyway, pay attention. He says, see now that I am he, there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hands. So we can be praying and fasting all we want. If the God of Israel ain't with it, he ain't with it. If you're in the darkness and doing things in the dark, he ain't with it. Don't be blaming witches and warlocks for your works. Stop. Come to the light. You know, save yourself. Come to the light like he said. He said, I kill, I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I wet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, and I render vengeance to my enemy and reward them that hate me, I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain or the captive from the beginning of the revenge of the enemy. Look, people, this is what we fearing the wrong one here. You know, this is the thing. I ain't worried about nobody that practicing stuff in the dark because that's where it's at, right? I'm not in the dark, which you can't do nothing with me with that, because that's where you at, right? But here it is. He said, if I whet my sword and take hold on judgment, see, he the one that kills, like he said, and I make alive. I heal. He said, I wound and I heal. Sometimes, man, he may put something on you, put you in a hospital, and then heal you just for you to be corrected. But then he say, neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. If he decide that, look, I'm warning you, I'm going to kill you, man, you better back up. Whatever you're doing, you better put a pause on that. Some people, man, we too foolish to even understand that the God of Israel is got up. He got a sword putting waiting on him. I guess we need an ass to talk to us like Balaam's donkey. We need a dumb ass to say, look, man, there's an angel that's getting ready to kill you. He got his sword out. You better pay attention. Here it is. You half dead, and you still own the foolishness that got you there. But then, Balaam, if the ass don't talk, if the ass didn't tell Balaam, look, this is what's going on. Balaam was still hitting him. He was determined to be ignorant. Then the Lord opened up his eyes and showed him that angel was getting ready to kill him. It takes that for us to see that God is dealing with us. You got to see the angel for yourself. Or we just going to say, oh, well, you know, hey, well, God, hey, I'm just going through a little something, and my health is, you know, I'm having a heart attack, and I'm just going through something. No, you better pump your brakes before he take you off this earth. Obviously, he's serious. You'd be surprised what people are saying and doing in the dark. Let's look at this a little further. Exodus 15 and 26. See, right now, see, what we're trying to do is dispel the idea that angels have or people have more power than God, you know. We're trying to dispel, but if you don't believe it, this is the waste of the God of Israel time. I believe this, you know. That's why I don't take people like that serious. I really don't, you know. People, you go to mediums or you let somebody read your palm, you out there. You out there bad. You're a fool. And you know better. He said this, Exodus 15 and 26, he said, and said, if thou would diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, he's not talking, not no witch, not no warlock, not no sodomites, or none of these fools out here in the world. He didn't say that. He said, if thou will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and would do that which is right in his sight. And you already know what that is. If you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, that's like what I said. You got some of us that haven't read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and I already want to tell you about God, you know, and don't even know what's right. But we're going about establishing our own righteousness. I'm so glad I'm so free of that madness. I'm good. I know what the Father revealed to me, and that's it. I'm done with that. You know, unbelievers and people that don't believe in this book from Genesis to Revelation, if this is not enough for you, the Word of God isn't enough for you, then the God of Israel isn't enough for you. So therefore, I think wherever it is, can two walk together except they be agreed? No. So I'm not walking with that. I'm good. I'm good with where I'm at. I appreciate Genesis to Revelation. The Apocrypha is in the middle of that. I'm good with that. Not the lost books. The lost books ain't in that. The lost books ain't in what King James had originally established it in 1611. You see, but then they say it's the lost books. If it is, if it isn't, I can't authorize it. I can't confirm it because it's lost. It's a text that's unestablished. You see, but I can establish the Apocrypha because the King James had it in the 1611. Anything outside of that is past me. So I don't mess around with things that I can't prove. Let somebody sit up here and start talking to me like I don't know what I'm talking about, and I hate that egg on my face, you know. And I'm not going to go back and forth with you, you know. If you don't know what you're talking about, then you don't. If somebody trying to correct you and you see it, and you still on that madness, have at it. God bless you. See you later. If you bent on believing that madness, have at it. I'm not there. I'm not going to put myself or my children in around anybody that's willing to go that far, and they haven't even proved the Bible. And here it is. He said, and if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and give all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord thy God, that healeth thee. See, this is the thing. People don't understand this COVID madness and all this type of stuff, man. It's from God, even though he allowed a man to bring it forth. If it wasn't in the earth, it wouldn't exist. So it's from him. You know, he said, thou hast made all things, the heaven and the earth. Everything is written. Even this COVID-19 was written in the law, you know, for whatever reason, that he decided it would be there. Well, we know it came because of Adam, you see. But the Lord is telling us, he said, I would not do any of these things if you keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, if you love me with all your heart, I will show you mercy. If you don't believe in me, then how can I show you mercy? If you're doing things contrary to me, I know you don't believe in me. I know you don't. Even though you're calling upon my name, I know you don't. How you going to say I love you, and the minute you turn your back on them and you on up under some other idol? Ain't no way in the world. It's like people saying, I love you, Jesus, and got a Christmas tree in their house. It's just that plain. You know? Or a man saying, I love this woman, his wife, right? And go sleep with her friend, her friend, and 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 her friend. That's not love. Or vice versa. You see, so love come with, what you call that, qualifications, you know. Love is the truth, you know. And once the truth is gone, man, once love get integrated with lies, it's impossible to recover it. You never want to taint love, especially the love of God, with lies. You talk about that. You cover my altar with lies, man. We got to be careful with those things. Anyway, he's telling us, man, look, I do this to you. I do these things. I sent angels to do these things. This is how I operate. I do this. Stop giving men glory. You know, hey, even Saul was getting rid of the witches and out of his kingdom, you know. Even he was doing that. So, you know, if the Lord was allowing Saul to do that, you know, you got something to stand on. That's if you believe in God, and that's if you're not in the wickedness. So he said, I will put none of these diseases upon you, right? Okay. Let's go into Psalm 78 and 42. He said, I won't put none of these diseases upon you. So we're going to go to Psalm 78, and we're going to see what else he said here concerning these things. 78. And let me get this coffee. 78 and, oh, I passed my script. Okay, 78 and 42. And he said this. He says, they remember not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. And this is what, this is a common thing among us. You know, no, let me read this. Psalm 78 and 41. He said, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. So he really wanted to bless us. He really wanted to bless us, but we kept messing up, limited in his hand with our wickedness, limited the Holy One of Israel with our foolishness and our works and our darkness that we, that's why we're here in this world. And the world has got a big, giant foot up Israel's butt. All because we limited that God. There's so much that we can't even, he won't even deliver us out of this madness until he decides so. And we still practicing nonsense in front of him. And still want to say that God is blessing us because we got a, we eating on the table and we got a fresh pair of pants or clothes or whatever. Man, we ain't doing nothing. We ain't doing nothing. The world is past Israel leaps and bounds. And I'm talking about every family on the planet. Let's go back. Let's continue this. It says Psalm 78, 42. They remember not his hand nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. What do you mean? When we got baptized, you know, he delivered us from the enemy when we got baptized. Because if we didn't, the enemy was, he had a chokehold on us, taking us to the lake of fire. But no, we want to limit his hand and go and do the same wickedness that we needed to be baptized for. And then wonder why the God of Israel ain't opening up the doors or things like that, or even why our health issues is what they are. Keep putting our, we keep putting his, our hands to the fire. We keep tapping stuff that's unclean and then uncleaning this, like the Matrix. You know, put your hand in the mirror and that thing cover you up. Hey. That could be either righteousness or wickedness. You put your hand in it. If you put your hand for righteousness, then righteousness will cover it. You put your hand to a wickedness, it'll cover you. Either or, light and darkness can't coexist. So you ain't going to be in darkness for this hour and the next minute. I mean, light, that's a lie. You either covered in darkness or you covered in light. It's all to it. And he said this, he said, verse 43, he said, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and wonders in the fields of Zoan. So we're talking about that time when he had, you know, turned the rivers into blood and all this, during the time of Moses and Aaron and Miriam, right? So this is the time that we're speaking of. So let's read what he did. He said, and he had turned their rivers into blood and the floods that they could not drink. He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He gave also the increase to caterpillars and their labors to the locusts. He destroyed their vines with hail and the sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger and wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. So the Lord is sending evil angel. That's why he said, I create peace. I create evil. I will not put any of these diseases upon you that I brought upon the Egyptians. Why? Because he sent an evil angel to give the Egyptians the boils and the brains and all the things. That when it was Job that the angel touched his soul. And he gave him, and he let you know flat out, You know, it was, you know how many people was probably praying against Job when he was in, you know, when before the God of Israel had said, you know, have you not considered my servant Job? You know how many people was probably praying and hating on him like that? And he still was being about God, still doing his God thing, you know, still being righteous, still doing his, doing whatever God's put in his heart. Ain't no telling how many people in the world was up against that man, and the Lord was blessing them. And then soon as he said, then God said, okay, it's your time to be tried, right? It's your turn. So he tried them. The only reason why he tried them is because it was a spirit inside of Job that he had to get rid of, and it was called the spirit of scorning. He didn't know it. He didn't see it. But if it wasn't for him going through all of that, he would have never saw it. And he would have ran into the God of Israel with it. And he would have died in his sins. So he sent Satan to tempt Job, to try him. However he did, he allowed him to take everything, and the children, everything. He allowed him to do all of them things. And then even his body. And then the people start saying, oh, you must have did something. Oh, well, look at that. Ha-ha. Look, see, you must have did this. You must have did that. You don't know. You don't know what God is doing. You see. But the Lord was trying him. The Lord had to get that out of him. Because then if you read the story, we're so busy looking at the front and the back of it. You know, he look at all this he's going through. And he got boys, and we get done with that part. Because now here come the reading part, you know. We see that, you know, the physical part, all the sensational part is this. He did this. He tore down the house. He did this. He tore down the he tore down all of this stuff. You get past all of that. And his wife cursed him, and then at another. Then here come the read, right? Nobody do that. Nobody read from the part that, he, you know, from the point that his wife cursed him to the point that, oh, the Lord blessed him 70 times more. You know, no, nobody read all that information in between that. I'm talking about at least 36 scriptures, 36 chapters of book, and we just get right over that conversation. And think we understand what God was doing. This is what happened when we don't read the book. Some of us has never even read the book of Job physically. We might have listened to it, but we never read it. We didn't put our fingers on each word to see what God was saying. Look, why this man going through this? What's going on with this here? They said, oh, my God. Then when you read the conversation, then you start picking up on that. You start saying, oh, there it is there. Okay, I see what you're saying, God. There it is. He did say that. Oh, yeah, there it is there. He said that there too. Okay, so now we see why you brought this judgment, because you was trying to clean him up. You're going to give this man a throne, Jack. He's going to sit next to you in the kingdom. Whatever the price was, it ain't to be compared to everlasting life, no matter what. Right? Ask Jesus. Same thing. He said, I come to do my Father's will. If it wasn't the Father's will that he was to be tried and persecuted by the church, so to say, and unbelievers, right? And unbelievers. He said there was two publicans on the cross, right? Even the dude on the cross was pushing on them, you know, not the one that said, forgive me, Lord, and remember me when you enter into your paradise, such and such, thing like that. But the other dude, you know, had railed on them. The priest was on them. The Levites was on them. And all the people of the kingdom that he had put in his land, and which literally was his house, was on him. He could have came down off the cross, but he didn't. And I said once, I said 1,000 times, somebody got to be up there. But this is what happened. We don't pay attention to that. You know, we too busy trying to pick up little this and little that, get the sensationalism like we in a movie or something like that, instead of really reading the hard stuff. Like he said, if you would search out my word as of hidden treasures. We ain't got time for that. I need to run around, flip, and speak in tongues and fool people that are thinking this is what God is. No, man, that's possessions, demonic possession. The law would never contradict itself. If there's not an interpreter, that's not from God. It wouldn't. God of Israel is not going to break his law for nobody. It's just that simple. And he said this, he said, and he made his way to his and spared not their souls from death. So he killed them like he said in Deuteronomy. And gave their life over to the pestilence, diseases like he said in Exodus. And smote all the firstborn in Egypt, even the chief of the strength of the tabernacles of Ham, and their children. You see? All because they put their hands on the wrong people or the wrong one. So all of a sudden, now you put your hands and your mouth on the wrong one. Now you suffering like the flu. Now you going through it because you didn't lift your hands up to wickedness before God to do things that we should not. Job chapter 12 and 16. See, like I said, we don't study to show ourselves approved. You know, we don't study to show ourselves approved. We too busy preaching, talking. And then people, you know, that talk a lot. You got to be careful with that. Because God don't tell you. He said a wise man concealeth knowledge. He said a fool utter all his heart. He said, Job 12 and 16, with him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceivers are his. So look at him. He told us that with him is strength and wisdom, you know, your health and your life, right? And your light of God is with him, right? The deceived and the deceiver also are his. So he's letting you know that I deceived them. And Satan, I sent them to deceive them. The earth is mine and the fullness thereof, even the angels, even the fallen angels. He said in verse 17, he leadeth counselors away spoil, and he makes judges fools. So some of us, man, that we call ourselves great orators and counselors, he said, man, he'll make you a fool. I've seen that many times over. I watch these people, man. I watch people to sit up here and in their arrogancy have the nerve to judge someone. And the Lord turned around and showed that you the fool. You got to be careful what you're doing and what we're saying about people. I love my elders. You can hear me out here running to Joe Blow about them. I mean, because I know they men too, like myself. I know they dirt too. Like they know mine. If they uncover my dirt, that's between them and God. They dirt. The thing is, you leave it up on the altar. If you take it off the altar and you give it to the world, that's called wickedness. Because that's supposed to be the sacrifice. That's supposed to be a peace offering there. You don't take a peace offering that's meant for the priest and give it to the world. He said nobody is supposed to eat of that other than the priest. And here you come, here I come, going to go and take that off and then spread it around the world and think we're going to get away with it. Just to justify our foolishness. Hey, it is what it is. Revelations 12 and 9. Revelations 12 and 9. Because remember that he said to deceive and the deceiver are his, right? Well, what is he talking about? You know? Sometimes, man, no matter what you say to somebody, it's not going to make sense to them because they've been deceived. No matter how much you tell them the truth, they're deceived. There's nothing you can do about that. You cannot correct that. You can't fix it. You can't pray it over them. Nothing. Sometimes, man, you just got to let God do what he do. If they're going to be deceived, then you got to let it be deceived. They don't want to hold the truth. You got to let them have that. You got to save yourself. You know, this is why people get upset about the word, you know, I was trying to tell this person about Christmas and they did. And what do you care? I mean, are you supposed, where's your faith? Because you said, the book said you plant the seed, another water it, and then you let God get an increase. It ain't for you to sit and watch the tree grow out the ground. That's not for you to do. That's not your place. Your place is to let the God of Israel do his job after you do yours. You know, who knows, you come back, that tree be all over the place, growing and full of fruit, and you'd be like, man, I want to thank you so much for breaking down and standing other man, and da-da-da-da. Yeah, I opened up this ministry over here, and you'd be like, wow, dude, that's a beautiful thing. Who would have knew? I'm preaching over here, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Who would have knew? All you did was planted a seed called faith. But that takes some time to get, that takes time. You got to grow to that. Or maybe it ain't for you to grow to. That's another thing. You got to keep that in consideration. Because remember that this right here is written, Revelations 12 and 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels was cast out with him. See, that's why he said the deceived, the world, and the deceiver, Satan, are his. Or else he couldn't judge the world or Satan. So who's the power? Who's the power? You know. Who's the real power? That's the question. Who's the one who we should really fear? That's the real question. You see, just a little further. Let's go into Psalms, right? Psalms. I know some of them say, well, I thought this lesson about the brethren. You don't think these evil angels ain't called brethren? They are. They was created to help us. They're your brethren. Just like your brother, like you in a word, and your brother is not. That don't change because he ain't serving God. He gonna always be your brother. That don't change. Maybe spiritually, but he always gonna be your brother. That's why he said, he told Cain, your brother's blood crieth to me from the earth. That didn't change. It's just that you killed your brother. I'm going to let you in on something. This is horrifying, but this, let me let you in on it. And that same blood today, right now, is crying from the earth, right? Because you got people that's baptized in the name of Jesus. And people is out here speaking evil all around them to justify their madness. And the blood is crying from the earth. Yeah, this person is saying this. This person is saying that. This person is doing this. This, it's the blood that's screaming out. You know, the person don't even know. The person have no idea. Maybe Johnny come lately, you know, to pop up here and there. But as a whole, sometimes that person ain't even got a clue that somebody's out there doing that. But the blood know. We all want to talk about, I plead the blood of Jesus. Well, that same blood to plead against you. You out here somewhere that's going, and you're lying, and you're putting stumbling blocks in front of people. You are working for the enemy. Ain't no ifs, ands, buts about it. Your God is the devil. That's what you do. If that's what he do, and you doing it, that's what, because Jesus would never do that. So if that's what you're doing, you better know that's your God. Psalms 24 and verse 1, it says this, the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, case in point. The world, the whole world ain't following him, but it belongs to him. See that? The whole world don't care nothing about laws or statues or, you know, things like that. The whole world don't at large. You know, you may find you one or two people here and there, you know, that really care. You know, you find you one, like the Lord said, you find a messenger, one out of 1,000, and you mess over that one, I hate to be you. He said, the world is mine. In the fullness thereof, ain't nothing, man, I'm telling you, nothing we can do to not, you know, to change that. He running all of this, all of it. Know that. We got to be so careful when it comes to them things, you know. Right? Coffee time, like I said. Anywho, let's look at this a little further. So when you start talking about the world and the things that belong to him, things that's in it. So all of this, he said, that's why he said, I create light and I create darkness. So he'll put darkness there for you to, if you got that in you, he'll lead you there and bind you there that you'll never come out. And you won't see his light. You won't see these things that belong to him because you don't really love him enough to believe these things. If we love God, right? I'm going to say this, and I'm saying whoever's listening all around the world, I'm going to say this. If you love God, your first order in believing and loving him is reading that word from Genesis to Revelation. You ain't got nothing else. That's your first proper order. If you haven't done that, forget about it. You just run in your mouth. You faking the funk. That's all to it. Job 41 and verse 1. Job 41 and 1. Do yourself a favor. Go grab a Bible. Read it from Genesis to Revelation before you decide to open your mouth. Job 41 and 1. It says this, canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook or his tongue with a cord which letteth it down? So Leviathan is the serpent of the sea, you know. And I like to point out that, you know, Cadillacs is an old naval term for serpent or serpent of the sea. You know, like, you know, you got the Kraken and stuff like that. Well, Cadillac is an old naval term for serpent of the sea or sea dragon, something to that effect. This is why you got cars called Cadillac. Well, they used to call them Cadillac DeVille. They don't do that no more because people started getting hip. Oh, man, that's a devil. I mean, the car's sexy, but it still say devil, right? You know how many preachers and these pastors was riding around with Cadillacs all these years? And they knew it said devil on that. They didn't know Cadillac meant sea serpent. But it ain't, you don't get around that. Cadillac DeVille, you don't miss, I don't, that's French for devil. So you don't miss that if you're a pastor. You know how many of these cats had these caddies all these years? And throughout time, as long as they've been making them, you know? So, like he said, the world is his. The world is his. I'm not saying, you know, well, if you buy a Cadillac, you're a wicked person. I'm just saying, look, pay attention to your surroundings. You know, like Chrysler, right? Christ Slayer. You know? And then who's they subsidiary? Ram. Baphomet. You know? Or Christ Slayer or the Ram of God. Really? I mean, if we ain't paying attention to what we are surrounded, we miss those things, you know. It's just the world at large that we in. Will I ever buy a Cadillac? Hey, I like them. I like cars like that. Don't get me wrong. You know, if I got a choice not to, then I probably would make a choice not to. But I got to admit, Cadillacs are super sexy. They look good and they run good and they really good, really beautiful machines. The name is what it is. That's all. It's just the name of it. Christ Slayer, right? We'll have about 300 Dodge the Cryo or something to that effect. I don't know. I mean, I really wouldn't know. If I had an option, I probably wouldn't. You know. But I'm just saying, this is what we get. What about that the Dodge Ram? Well, you know, people say, well, that's a Baphomet. Well, it looked like a ram to me. A Baphomet is a skull with horns. That's an actual ram head. So, you know, you can start with the ram being a Baphomet. That's just a ram. That's a, you know, else you're saying you, that goat out there, that's a literal goat, is wicked, you know. No, man, it's just, but when you take the skull and you put it on something, then it become a Baphomet. So would I buy a Dodge Ram or a truck or a Challenger? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. You know, but if I got a choice, probably not. You know, I'm just saying people would do all these different things, you know. Oh, the Mercedes Benz, they got the peace sign on it. That's the cross with the legs with the T broken down. Who said that? And where you get that from? I mean, if that's the case, then that means Camus been broke down. Okay, that's all good. Shouldn't we be cheering that? That's all I'm saying. That's why he said the world, he said the deceived and the deceivers are his. So if you bound by that darkness, and if those things mean something to you, then that may have more relevance over you than the truth. And you got to be careful with that, you know, because God said this. He said, he talk about me, and there's no God with me. You see, so who am I going to fear? The one that can take me off the planet now and then wake me up and throw me in a lake of fire. See, that's the ultimate question. Do I fear this, you know, like Saul? Was he fearing the witch? No, he didn't fear no witch. Saul, if Saul don't fear a witch, what are you doing? You know? If Saul didn't fear sorcerers, if Saul, of all people, did not fear sorcerers or wizards or anything like that, what are we doing? You would think
if anybody who would have had a fear of those things would have been Saul, but it wasn't. He was kicking them out the land. And then in the end, he went and sought one, you know, which only was, you know, just added another nail to the coffin, so to say, right? But once again, the world, the earth is his, and the world also, and the fullness thereof. So it's nothing going on that the God of Israel do not know about. It's nothing going on in this planet that he do not see. There's no fear in serving God. None. Right? So he said this, "Canst thou put a hook in his nose and bore a jaw through with a thorn?" Verse 2. Verse 3, "Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee?" No, because you know what he's going to do? You get to playing with the devil, he's going to speak fear. He's going to speak evil things. "Oh, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die." You mess around with them foul spirits, the next thing you know, like people, you know, like we be seeing people, man, they just start running scared, you know, because they done messed around and got a hold to the wrong one. Now they got a devil on them just telling them, "Man, your clock is punched. You got a minute to live and a second to die." And this is, you know, people, we got to stop with that. He is not going to speak soft words unto you. You know, and we got people out here that's practicing this darkness, man. When God turned that darkness around, ask the Egyptians. He put those diseases on them. He killed their children. He destroyed their works. And they were magicians. They were sorcerers. They had more power than any magician or sorcerer you know today. And he showed us then that he turned all that around on them because he said, oh yeah? Huh. Those idols you worshiping? He said, "I'm going to execute judgment on them." What do you mean by that? I'm going to hold this script right here, and I'm going to show you what he means by executing judgment on those idols, right? And we don't – this is a problem we don't read. But, you know, we so, I would say, pretentious or lazy, right? You know, I say more pretentious than anything because – if we really believed in God, we would have read, that would have been our first order of business was to eat the book from Genesis to Revelations. He said, this is Deuteronomy chapter 32, and he said this, he said, "They provoked me to jealousies with strange gods, with the abominations provoked me, they him to anger. They sacrifice unto devils and not to God, to whom they knew not, to new gods which newly came up, whom your fathers feared not." So, once again, it's like nothing new under the sun. Abraham knew people was worshiping the devil back in the day. We act like this is something new. Noah knew people was worshiping the devil. Lamech knew it. Methuselah knew it. Adam knew it. Idols, man, is the worship of devils. He said, "I'm going to execute judgment on your devils." And he will at a time appointed. He's going to execute judgment on the devils. All of them. We aren't listening. We're too busy being scared rabbits. We're too busy giving the glory of the God Israel to the weak and unbelievers, all because they can do something like go and kill a chicken and put the blood or a chicken foot or whatever, you know. Man, if somebody put a chicken foot on your window or your car or something like that, you should take a videotape and then put that chicken foot in some grease and fry that bad boy and eat it with some hot sauce. And let them know that don't mean nothing to me. Now, so much for that. Got some more food you want to give me? This is the other thing. It says this. It says, they sacrificed the devils, not the God to whom God, they knew not, to the new gods that newly came up, whom your fathers feared not. So if my father, Joseph, was in Egypt, he knew they was worshiping devils. Pharaoh knew he was worshiping devils. Jacob knew his wife was worshiping the devil. Ask Rachel. He knew that she was worshiping the devil. And the Lord killed her before her time. Because she was out there worshiping the devil. She died early. We aren't listening. We're not fearing the one who created even the devils. Too busy being scared rabbits. Maybe because we done seen something, did something, and we done seen it, and now, hey, it is what it is. But we good, you know. If that's your fear, then so be it. If that's your faith, then so be it, you know. If that's what you believe, then so be it. I'm not bound by your darkness, and I'm not bound by your unbelief, you know. I've been in this word for years, man, and the last thing on my mind is witches and sorcerers and stuff like that. My own sins is my concern. I'm telling you, that's the least of my concern. Anybody that's bothered with that kind of stuff, way too much fear. That's that thing when God say, what do you say? The fearful and the unbelieving going to end up in a lake. Yeah. That's true. He said this. He said, back at Job 41 and verse 3, let's pick it back up where we left off. It says this. Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Will thou take him for a servant forever? And we have made covenant with the devil. I'll serve you, Satan, for, you know, the riches of the world that you then offered Jesus, and he passed them up. Right? What comes with that is blood and death. You know, people, man, you be looking at people now, right? I was blew back, and I'm going to tell you this, and it was horrifying to me. When I found out, you know, that white people, the Ku Klux Klan, not just white people, but, you know, people would grab Israel or the slaves, take them in the woods, or their children, and offer them to the devil. I didn't know. I thought they were just being racist and hateful. They were literally sacrificing our children to the devil or us. And then you look at some of these horrific things that happen to some of these white people in the world, you'd be like, oh, my God. You know, you'd be like, where'd that disease come from? You'd be like, oh, my God. You know, and then you'd be like, that's that generational thing, man. You don't know what your forefathers was doing in the woods, man. All you could do is ask the father to remove that from your next generation. Okay, there go a witness. Somebody in our generation is fooling, is messing up, so you got to clean that up. You got to clean it up. You got to fast and pray and ask God to forgive you and break the curse. Maybe he'll send that one among a thousand to baptize you and clean you up. There's no fear in somebody practicing whatever in the dark, because that don't go nowhere. It ain't going across the street. Especially with the God of Israel. He said, I own them. The witch feared Saul. If she had all that power, right, then why was she afraid of Saul? Even to the end, she was still scared. Why was she so afraid? If she had all, why didn't she just pray that Saul, you know, would blow up or something? We already knew that Saul messed up, right? That didn't have nothing to do with any witches or sorcery or nothing like that. He just didn't obey God, right? If she had all this power, and I mean she had buku power, that she can go and bring up Samuel, then why was she afraid of Saul, who is the least of our kings? We're not listening. We're not paying attention to the truth. We're not paying attention to the word. So you got that fear up on you, that fear is going to lead you to the lake of fire. Have at it. That ain't my call. I ain't about that. That's the least of my concern. My concern is just trying to make sure my kids understand this book. Understand that there's a God and there's a judgment. And please be careful with your life because it's in his hands. You know, I got 58 years out of them. I hope I can get 1,000 more. That's my hope. But you got to get to where I'm at. And I'm trying to tell you, that didn't come because I didn't fear him. That came because I did. And, of course, a whole lot of mercy from him. So he said, without play with him as with a bird, are you going to play with this spirit? Are you going to play with devils? Right. Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons and his spear with fish spears? Lay thy hand upon him and remember the battle and do it no more. So you put your hands to this madness, right? But you better not do it again. This will happen. He said, behold, the hope of him is in vain, right? Satan hath no hope. He know he's cut off. Because his sentence is cast. He's not going in the judgment. He's not going to stand before God in the judgment. He's going to go straight to the lake of fire, just like the beast and the false prophet. There is no judgment for the devil. None. The hope of him is in vain. This is why God is telling Job, look, I did this. And Job never gave the glory of this, even though he knew it was the devil, even though he knew he was going through all kind of hell, he never gave the glory to the enemy. Oh, the enemy is coming against me. You know what he kept saying? My complaint is to the Lord. My complaint is to the Lord. I mean, like that was bad enough, right? We're not listening. This is what happens when you don't read the whole book of Job. We so busy, you know, trying to get to the end, you know. Well, yeah, you know, once you go through your trouble, you know, this is that sensationalism when you be preaching and stuff. When you get through, you're going to go through your trials and revelations. You're going to go through this, and then you're going to come out like on Job. But it's a process, man. It's a process in that. It's a process. Before you come out clean, you got to go through something. Like he said, he said, you better buy a fire. You better try this gold that's been purged and been burnt in a fire. You better try that I tried and proven. Most of these cats ain't even been tried. You know why they haven't been tried? Because they haven't read their book. When you read your book, here it comes. That's why people don't want to read the book. They just want to sit and listen. But if that's your MO, then shut up. You can't. You don't have the right to speak because you don't have the experience to speak. You don't know what it is to have a conversation. You like a baby. You don't know how to talk if you haven't let the God of Israel teach you how to talk. Something is wrong with somebody that'll go to church, to church, to church, to church, to church, to church, to church. Something is wrong with somebody that'll listen to this minister, this minister, this minister, this minister. I got three guys that I basically listen to. Basically. And that's it. I got three churches that I basically listen to. But that's it. And that's because when it's time for me or the Spirit lead me, it's a word there for me. And I know it is because it always has been for me. So I trust that well. I don't have a problem with that well to drink from it. But there ain't no way in the world, you know, I'm going to listen at this dude, 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 this woman, this woman, this woman, this woman, this woman, this woman. You know, then I'd be crazy as a road lizard. I'd be all over the place. You know, this is that thing. So you got people that's doing that. They're not sound. That's not sound doctrine. That is not a sound mind. Something is wrong with that. Something is wrong with that spirit. That sounds like you in darkness and you're trying to find a way out. That's what it's saying to me. That sounds like you're trapped in darkness and you don't know your way out and you're looking for a way out. Through all these yahoos in this world, and that's horrifying to me. So I don't blame people that say, well, listen, I listen to Brother Bowie, that's it. I listen to Brother Elijah, that's it. Yeah, like I said, that's what you do. But because you listen to them, don't mean you don't get to read your book. You still got to read. That's your faith. You got to read your book from Genesis to Revelation, man, because you don't know what the God of Israel have in store. And if you don't know, if you don't read it, you'll never find out. So, like you said, in the beginning, you limited the hand of the God of Israel because you refused to read the book from Genesis to Revelations. You stunt your own growth, spiritually, physically, probably, right? Let's look at this a little further. Where we at? Oh, okay. We only got a few more minutes left. We'll pick this up, God willing, next weekend. Let's see. Let's continue on this. He said, behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? You think? If you knew what this angel looked like physically and Ezekiel saw him, you wouldn't want no parts of it because you're just not used to seeing nothing like that. But then God said in Ezekiel, he said he was perfect in beauty. But if you seen him, you'll pass out. How can that be? How can he be perfect in beauty from the mouth of the Lord, but if you look at him, you will wet yourself? How is that? That's the question. That's another thing. We are not paying attention to what he's saying and how he's telling us, look, man, you better don't worry about that. And all these images, man, let me say this quick and I'm going to get back into this. All these images of, you know, the enemy coming out of hell and he's grotesque and all of that, those are lies. That's Roman Catholicism dogmas. That's Dante's dream of Hades, you know, of the pits of hell and all the devils and demons. And there ain't no such word as demon, you know, but they say it, so I'm saying it. And demons coming out of hell and they persecuting and torturing the people that's in hell right now, which is all, nobody in hell, nobody in the lake of fire now. It's all fiction.
We all, if anybody, we're all waiting on a judgment that includes us that's alive and those that are dead. We're all waiting on a judgment. If we don't come up in the first resurrection, we're all waiting on a judgment. So Dante's dream of Hades is a lie. It's a fiction. Who knows? That dude might have been blowing on heroin at the time that he had that vision. You know, you never know. That's like the 14th century, and we're still holding on to that, and we're still making movies according to that. Monsters coming out of hell, eating people and tearing people apart. Ugh. The enemy don't sound like that. The book said he got a beautiful voice. Man, the enemy will probably come at you like Luther Vandross. Be like, bada bee, bada boo boo. And next thing you know, you all in tune with the music. He got you. Now I'm finna plant my seeds in you. See? He don't sound like that. He's a musician. He know music. He know scriptures. He know the worst of the world because God said, he said it out of his mouth to Jesus, is given to me. You see? So if you bind yourself with these things, you miss these things. How can something be so beautiful, be so... You know, he said that he got jewels all over his body, and I can only imagine that because he's created from fire. So the only thing that's the illumination of every jewel in the creation is on him. Coming through the light of God that he gave him could be nothing short of flat out beautiful. We never seen a ruby. We never seen a Janus stone or a jasper stone, anything like that. We never seen it. We seen a dead jasper stone. We seen a dead ruby. We seen a dead diamond. Until the light of God shined through those jewels, you never seen it. They're dead. He said, behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so feared to dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Once again, he's talking to Job. He's saying, look, you worried about that. You should be worried about me because I created him. He's the least of your concerns. I'm your problem. I'm your fear. I'm his fear. I'm the devil's fear. I'm all the evil angels' fear. Have you come to destroy us before the time? I'm their fear. Who then is able to stand before me? So why are you fearing anything other than the Most High God of Israel unless you out here bad? And he put that fear on you. Let me hold this right here. I gotta find that scripture because he talks about that. He talks about that fear when people is out here doing stupid stuff. And then the fear is on them. Let me see. No, that's not it. Let me back up. Let me see if I can find it. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Let me see. I'm going to see if I can find that scripture because this is what happens when people get too far to the left or right. Then the Lord allowed the enemy. That's when he said, will he speak kind words to you? Now, you all of a sudden, yeah, there it is, Job chapter 15. Let's read that. It says this. Job 15 and verse 20. Let me see if I can read a little higher than that. Yeah, Job 15 and, oh man. Oh my God, this is all me. I'm just going to, Eliphaz broke this down. This is Eliphaz. He broke this down. This is why, you know, when we read this book, and if you read, you don't just talk about Job. You don't just, and it's three friends. Well, wait a minute. What's their names? You know, and what were they saying? You know, you want to read that story because they was kicking balls, right? So Eliphaz said this. He said, "Has thou heard the secret of God? Has thou retained wisdom to thyself?" He says this. He says, "With us are both the gray-headed and the very aged man, much elder than thy father." His dad was still alive. Anyway, it says this. He said, what else he said? He said, 15, he said, "That thou turnest thy spirit against God and lettest such words fly out of thy mouth." Now, listen to what he's saying. He said, "What is man that he should be clean in which is born of a woman, that he should be righteous? Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight." And he's right, because Jesus didn't die yet. Once Jesus died, then he sprinkled the most holy place, which is heaven, and it got clean. But at this point, he was on point. He said, verse 16, he said, "How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water? I will show thee," hear me, "that which I have seen, I will declare." You got to read the book. What are they talking about, what I seen? That's what Jesus said. He said, "We testify the things we do and know. We seen and we know. We don't testify the things we didn't ear hustle from anybody else. We seen this with our own eyes, what the scripture saying." So listen to what he said. He said, "Which wise men have foretold from their fathers and have not hid it." This is why he said, your fathers didn't fit these devils. And then he said, "Unto whom alone the earth was given, and no strangers passed among them. The wicked man travaileth with pain all his days. The number of his years is hidden to the oppressor. A dreadful sound is in his ears, and prosperity of the destroyer shall come upon him." See, there it is. That dreadful sound is in his ears. That's why he asked that question in Job 41. He said, "Would these be comfortable words? Would you make a covenant with him? Is he going to speak comfortable words to you?" No, that's not his MO. He wants you to fear. He wants you to worship him. He wants you to be afraid of him versus God, because that's sin. That's as much sin as going out and sinning against God. That you fear him more than him. He said, "A dreadful sound is in his ears, and prosperity destroyer shall come upon him. He believeth not that he shall return out of darkness. He waiteth for the sword." He don't believe that God of Israel can deliver him. He know he going to die for his sins, so to say. You know, but this is what happened when you, he said, this is for wicked men. How do you become wicked? You got to know the difference. Some reason or another, this dude was practicing wickedness. He said, "He wandered abroad for bread, saying, where is it? Knowing not that the day of darkness is ready at hand." What? What is the bread that he's looking for? The bread of life, the word of God. Eliphaz said this. He said this. This is what happened when we don't read the book. This is that thing. That's what he said. Wait a minute. You can't even stand before him. How then? He said, wait a minute. If you saw him, you would pass out. How then can you stand before me? That's why he said, every knee is going to bow, Jack.
every knee is going to bow. How can you stand before him? He said, lightning is coming down my hand. How you going to stand before me? You can't stand before him. You going to get on your knees. He said this. He said, he wanted for a broth of bread, saying, where is it? And he knoweth not that the day of darkness is ready at hand. Trouble and anguish shall make him afraid. Shall he? And they shall prevail against him as a king ready to battle. For he stretcheth out his hand against God and strengtheneth himself against the Almighty. You know, full of pride, you can't tell him nothing. Can't tell him nothing. He's going to strengthen himself against the truth. All right, have at it. That's not my battle. That's not my fight. I can't be upset with somebody who don't believe in God. I can't be upset with anybody that's not going to believe in God. That's your thing, not mine. That's your concerns, not mine. He said, he stretched out his hand against God and strengthened him himself against the Almighty. He runneth upon him, even on his neck, upon the thick bosses of the buckler, because he covered his face with fatness and make a cloth of fat, on his flanks. Your gluttonous. See? This is that thing. I'm just going to leave it there. Let's get back to the other part of Job, right? Let's go back to that. And he said, 10, none is so fierce that it dare stir him up, who is able to stand before me, right? If you're going to fear him, shouldn't you be afraid of me? Shouldn't you more so be afraid of me? I created him. The witch was afraid of Saul. Saul wasn't afraid of her. Even with all that he did, that wasn't his concern. That wasn't his problem. God was his problem. Because God cut him off. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. I reveal them to you if you want to know. I tell you how to deal with them if you want to know. But that comes with reading. You got to read your book from Genesis to Revelations, or else he going to keep coming in the door of your ignorance. Right? Okay, just skip down. He said this, we're going to get back to this here. He said, he behold of all high things, he is king over all the children of pride. Well, the children of pride is those you can't tell them nothing. They're full of themselves. They know better. Can't instruct them. You can't tell them nothing. They're just super. Just way up the food chain with their pride. So, hey, now you know who their God is. When you see that spirit, you know who their God is. That's why it's imperative that we read. And not only do we read, we have a dictionary so we know the spirits that we're dealing with. Most people don't even know that pride is evil. Man, you better have some pride in yourself. No, that's not the word you want to use. How about some dignity, maybe? Righteousness, right? But pride isn't the word you want to use. You don't want to open the door to that. So, with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, look, people, read your Bibles.
of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, we're covering it so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.